day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's good to have you here with us this week. We're excited about this broadcast. We've got some fun stuff for you guys out there who are married, and hopefully this will be something enlightening for you. I'm Jonathan.
You call this fun stuff?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's great, great stuff.
Oh, cool.
You know, some of us have more masochistic tendencies than others, I guess.
Yeah, that's because you're going to turn the show over to me and say, right. Okay, Steve, deliver the fun.
Well, for those of you who are new to the broadcast, my name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm sitting here with Steven Cervantes. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Jonathan.
And we are the guys that just come to you every week and tell you how it is.
Try to sound smart.
Or I guess we tell it how we think it is, I guess. Doesn't necessarily mean that's how it is. But,
that's it.
This week, we're going to talk about wives, right? We're going to talk about...
that's what I've been struggling with. You know, what do wives need? You know, could we have that discussion based on what you've heard and what I've heard? We talk to a lot of guys, you and I, and so I think we carry a lot of information.
I feel like we should put some sort of disclaimer at the beginning of this broadcast. Two guys talking about what wives need.
Two guys talking about women. Go ahead. We're the experts. Just go ahead and ask your questions. You can phone in now. Just call 210. Right. Never mind.
Okay.
So I got to start with this little opener this guy shared with me once, and we were just standing around talking in Nowhereville. You know, we try not to put any names or make any connection with any real people, and we try and change material up so that it doesn't reflect anyone's personal story. But this guy was talking to me. He said, you know what I learned? I learned that women really like to fight. They do. They just like to fight, verbally fight. They like to argue and to tear into things. And you know what? I think they practice their skill every day. A good fight a day, good verbal discussion, tearing into some issue. And, you know, if you get torn up in the process, that's okay. Just a good fight, like it'll strengthen you. And, you know, women are like cats. Now, let me pause. This is not me talking. I'm quoting someone here.
Yeah, you're quoting this anonymous guy, right?
That's right. So I'm going to tape this and send it to people I know. You know what this guy's saying on the radio? Anyway, women are like cats. They just wait around, watching, listening, but they're in their pounce position, waiting for you to say the wrong word or tell the story wrong or get the sequence wrong. Or as a guy, sometimes the words don't flow so well or you say it wrong and you want to take it back and re-say it. And they're ready to pounce when you mess up. And the truth is they're not soft and sweet. They're hard, a little crusty, and they're seasoned fighters. And they will eat your lunch. They will shred you up. They will leave you in a broken heap. And then they'll go take a hot bubble bath and get ready for tomorrow.
Now, this is all from this guy, right? this is this one guy's opinion of what of what women are like.
But I think that kind of represents kind of a classic or traditional view that women are so emotional and so ready to talk about emotions and feelings and words. And what is that all about? And why is it so overwhelming to men? It's like you go home and you don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to get them stirred up. Mom ain't happy. Happy ain't nobody happy. Exactly, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's some truism to some of this that women enjoy emotions and emotional dialogues and intensity, and they come at you, and you think, man, they're mad, and really they're just full of energy and passion. But boy, it looks like when a guy's mad, he's pretty intense and passionate, and it looks like danger coming at you. And the sad thing is that if a man doesn't understand, he misperceives all that energy and passion, and he translates it to anger, then he gets defensive and responds to it in the wrong manner.
Well, and don't we often, I mean, and this is a two-way street, because don't we often respond to people out of, or we perceive their emotions, their communication style through the grid of our own gender? I mean, women do that thing with men. It kind of works both ways. But what you're talking about here is a guy is going to look at his wife coming at him with all this energy, and he's gonna interpret that through a male grid.
That's right. And, you know, there's this kind of unspoken about men, because men generally have the ability to hurt each other, that they carry a sense of respect for one another. You know, whenever you meet a man, you treat him with respect as whatever the qualities of manhood are, until he shows you otherwise. You know, we kind of esteem one another that way. And it almost looks like a woman is coming in looking for a fight, looking to, you know, we're having kind of a peaceful existence, and she's looking to stir that all up. And so I think it does step on some part of our maleness that we don't go around trying to fight. Now, I know there are guys that do, and they have anger problems, and there's a small percentage that'll just soon poke your nose, just talk to you. But I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the general guy that when stuff comes in too hot, too fast, too quick, too intensely, it just immediately gets the wrong response out of him. And he thinks she's angry, and he takes a defensive position, and then he starts to pull back and use fewer words and not engage her, and then she doesn't understand, and this cycle just goes on and on.
So then this broadcast, I'm going to guess, is about educating men on what that is coming at them, or what she's needing, or how to interpret that better, maybe, in terms of what she's needing.
Wanting. I don't know what to call it. Keep helping me to come up with the title.
Because what it sounds like is you're saying, okay, one of the flaws we've had as men is misinterpreting what she's bringing to us.
Her emotional intensity. That's right.
So it's what we're trying to do is maybe pull the curtain back a little bit and help guys see possibly give them some ideas of what is actually coming at them when their wives are approaching them. Maybe give them some insight on what she's really needing, wanting.
Yes. Because the point is simple. If you think it's anger coming at you, you respond one way. But if you understand it's disappointment and frustration, and she's really trying to cleanse out her emotional system, and she's going to blow a few words in your direction, if you know it's just a regular female behind that presentation, then you can catch your breath, have a spiritual moment, get into the dialogue, and not get torn up. Mm-hmm. Because I think that sometimes we misperceive as anger, then we can diminish. But you're angry. I don't have to listen to you. You're angry. You're being disrespectful towards me. I don't treat other people that way. I live by a rule of respect, and you're disrespecting me, so I can diminish
you. Well, and
you're
no longer connected then, because it sends both of you into a defensive position.
That's exactly right.
Because you fire back at her, and now she's going to say, well, wait a second, I was coming at him for something different, and I don't want that. And so all of a sudden you've got this big fight on your hands.
And I would want to discuss it from the framework that she approaches you with emotional intensity, that you catch your breath, have a spiritual moment, anchor to God quick, and not go into your own stuff. Because we go into our stuff and we come back, just as you say, with hurt and our own disappointment and anger, and then we scare her, we shut her down, she doesn't finish the process that she needs to go through. So I don't understand how that helps. So how do you deal with someone that's emotional in the moment? Maybe a good way to frame today's discussion. How do you more honestly see who's behind the intense presentation? and what is really back there instead of what we think is back there. Oh, it's anger. And if you put that meaning on it, then you can immediately reduce her and diminish it and accuse her, and you can attack back. But probably it's a female trying to work herself through to a more safe emotional place. She needs information. She needs clarification. She needs to vent off stuff. Let me tell you this principle. I'm going to sidetrack for just a second here. But if somebody ever offends you, then you walk around kind of with that wounding. And you carry the wound, and it's hard to get that woundedness off of you. But until the other person says, you know, I hurt you, I hurt your feelings, or I know I disappointed you. As soon as they say they did that, then we take the wounding off of ourselves and we put it back on the other person that caused the wound. But what if somebody tears you up and then never takes it off of you? You know, we carry it to protect ourselves so they don't hurt us again. So that we're careful, but we always carry a sense of woundedness in our emotional being. And some of this dialogue we're talking about is a woman trying to vent off stuff and pass it back and get clean so that she can be in a good, healthy place. Now, I'm not saying women get permission to tear up men. I'm not saying that at all. And I think, you know, we ought to talk to women about how to talk to a man at some point. But generally in this program, we educate men, we're talking to men to be better men, you know? And, you know, I get called on that. Why aren't you rougher on the women, you know? Why are you always attacking the men? Look, we're a couple of guys training men. That's our mission, all right? You want to do the women talk thing? Turn the channel. These are guys talking to guys. And we hope we educate women in the process. We're doing both, but we got to talk to the guys. Because that is our specialty. That's our background and our training. So what I would want the guys to do is to reframe in their head anger and almost try to never interpret your wife as angry and out of control. I would rather you interpret her as hurting and disappointed and needing to talk. You got that, Jonathan?
Yeah. And it doesn't, it certainly doesn't mean that your wife will never be angry or never be out of control. But generally speaking, if you can reframe it into the other direction of her being disappointed, needing communication, things like that, then those moments when she is angry and out of control, well, you're still in a better position to pass it through the other grid, you know, because you're coming at her with a more, a more relaxed approach. You're not coming at her with your dukes up.
That's right.
It's like you're coming at her with your hands extended instead of looking for a fight, you know.
And anger, I mean, as Christian men and women, we don't want to be perceived as angry people turning around, spinning and lashing and thrashing at one another. That's not who we want to be. On the other hand, when somebody's system is overloaded emotionally, we have to help them process through what's going on. And that's the higher calling, I think, of a man's life, is to not get lost when his wife gets emotional. Because ultimately, she is talking in your direction, but she's really thrashing against the Heavenly Father. She's talking about disappointments in her life. Are you in charge of her life and making sure she's never disappointed? No. We're husbands. We're supports. You know, we're protectors and providers. We are not in control of every experience she has and her own emotions. She's ultimately thrashing against God. If she's hurting, she's crying out to God about her hurt. You're just listening. And when she's talking it through, she's doing what she needs to in her system to get cleansed, to throw it off of herself, to get it out of herself. And so ultimately she is thrashing before the Father. And if you can hold your own in the dialogue, you're going to be much more helpful.
Well, what do you think? I mean, just to give maybe some more examples of what you think wives want when they're maybe approaching their husbands in an emotional sort of way. What are some of the things that we can give to men, practically speaking, in terms of what does a wife want, generally speaking?
Now, let's talk about the population that we talk to mostly, you and I. We talk to men that have gotten in trouble sexually. Right? They didn't bridle their sexual self very well. They didn't set up boundaries and protect their innocence. And now they're trying to stay in relationship and recover in terms of doing stupid things and engage in doing smarter, godly things. So we're coming at this program from guys that are trying to rebuild a relationship that's already been torn up pretty good. And so point one would be, let her vent. Okay, she doesn't get to accuse you or name call or destroy and shred you. No, but she gets to vent, number one. Number two, what do you think she needs to hear? And that's your question, Jonathan. What would help her? And I think as human beings, we're all on a growth mission, growing, learning to do better. Whatever we've done, we're not done. Whatever experiences we've had in the past, we're not done. We are on a mission to become Christ-like. It means we're not there. We're on a mission to become Christ-like.
Well, I think this goes into, I think it kind of goes into a conversation that my wife and I had recently where we were talking about, you know, we were talking about marriage and we were talking about how, you know, kind of what gets our marriage in trouble and some of the things that are challenges for us. And one of the points we made was, you know, I sometimes come to our marriage looking at it like it's a project. Like my wife is a project, you know, it's very linear thinking. Well, you know, you go from point A to point B to point C and then you get D.
Yes.
And so you look at...
Don't tell them what you're thinking now.
I'll save that concept. I'll just leave the problem here.
That's good.
And I think that's what a lot of men do is when their wives are coming at them with all this emotion and energy that we are not used to in our circles of men.
Yes.
Then we look at that as something that needs to be fixed. Something that needs, you know...
And that's the A, B, C,
yeah,
D, it's like, linear okay, you're talking
we
about.
We kind of put our hands together and say, all right, the project's here, you know.
Okay, so let me just listen to her long enough till I can hear a problem, then I'll go fix that problem, and then everything will be just fine.
And what you're saying to me is that's not what she wants. That, you know, she's wanting communication. She's wanting, us to listen. She's wanting that kind of just that validation that what's going on in her is not a problem to be fixed, is not crazy, is not out of the natural order of what a person should feel.
And you start to create this little boundary around the two of you where she gets to work her stuff through right next to you. And you get to work your stuff through right next to her. And so what she's listening for is, I think she wants to know that you're growing as a man. And so she wants to hear some growth language about what you've read, what you've heard. We push group on this program. Men, you need to go to group. And in groups, they say confidentiality. But you can always share an idea or a concept. You know, you can always share something you've learned. And so the whole idea of her listening to you as you grow is very important to her. Any new insight that you can share is what I'm talking about. A new thought, a Bible verse, a deepening of yourself by going, I never thought about that Bible verse, or that struck me a certain way. An insight is really important. I'm going to go down the list. Any comments?
Well, that's good.
And I think that your understanding of what God really wants and that is important to her also is that you're reading your Bible and that you're putting yourself on a personal mission in pursuit of God and spiritual matters and bigger things. I think that's important for her also. She wants to feel secure. And, you know, we're walking in perfection and it's really hard to, you know, to be rock solid 100%. But that's really what she wants, and really we're called to be as Christ-like, you know? And isn't that kind of a secure thought? To think about your best friend being Jesus. Is he going to stumble? Is he going to go backwards? Is he going to doubt? You know, is he going to mess up? No, he's like rock-solid security.
Well, and I think a lot of times that security is not so much in a husband's ability to quote unquote be Jesus for her as much as it is in that she sees he's taking a shot, you know,
and he's working, he's trying, he's moving.
You know, I've heard from not only my wife, but a lot of wives that say, I just want to see some effort, you know, I want to see that he's willing and that he wants, you know, that he wants what God wants for his life. And that means there's going to be some motion. There's going to be some movement in that direction. And I think that produces that security, because she's not feeling like she has to mother him or nag him.
Good.
Or, you know, he's taking initiative and responsibility.
Excellent. Yes. I was going to say responsibility falls on you. If you made the mess, and then God's going to help you clean up the mess. So we want you to fight your way back to a healthy relationship, to try and have an appetite that says, you know what, I want good, and I want permanent, I want right, I want all those things are about truth, and I'm going to fight my way back, whatever it takes, to create a strong union with this female, my wife. And so I think that was four. Number five would be healing. You know, she just wants to get healed of her hurt. And sometimes talking the way she talks is really her healing process.
Yeah, and I was going to say that a lot of times, you know, men look at healing in an event sort of mindset, like a moment in time. I want to have, you know, give me the Advil and I'm healed, you know, that kind of a
right.
thing.
And, yes.
And for wives, for women, healing often is much more of a process. I've heard this from my wife so many times, where we've shared moments where we've just had a conversation, and what she will say is, she said, "You've filled my love bucket." Mm. And that's a healing thing for her, because it's not about coming to fix a problem. There may be a problem.
Yes.
But for her, the process is that time spent in just talking out all the angles of that.
Yes. And letting her talk.
Because
sometimes we say, "We talked about that yesterday. Are we done?" No. No. However much she needs to talk for her healing is the goal. Not because you got tired of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, I would say, she wants to get through this mess. You know, she just wants to be on a journey that shows progress and hope, and that there's going to be an ending place, and we're going to have a healthy, intimate relationship, because she's growing and you're growing, and we're pursuing God and he's blessing us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few things to think about. I want to go back to what you were saying earlier. You had been saying, this is a linear problem. Okay, wife, tell me A, and I'll present B, and then we'll go to C, and when we're done with C, we'll fix D, and anything else you throw at me, E, F, and G, I'll solve those two,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just have this great, you know, linear problem solving, you complain and I fix marriage. But that's not your thinking now, is it?
Well, and kind of where our conversation went was in many ways, it's been the evolution of our marriage over the last, you know, 11 plus years, whereas I think both of us to a certain degree had approached it as somewhat of a project, me much more than her. Now I made the comment to her, I said, you know, now I see marriage as a dance.
Mm.
It's not a project. It's not something that you say, okay, someday I'm going to have it all packaged and it'll be presented, you know, out there in the world. No, it's a dance. And while I recognize, and for you husbands listening, just recognize that you don't dance as well as your wife. Just acknowledge that, okay? But the good news is that what I've found out from my own wife, as well as a lot of other wives, is they are much less interested in how good of a dancer you are, but they are interested in whether or not you get on the dance floor. That's what they want.
And take lessons would be helpful.
Well, and see, this is where the conversation with my wife went, where I was saying, you know, I know I step on your toes a lot, but the reality is, in recent years, I haven't stepped on them as much as I did years ago.
Wow, that's good. I like that.
And we're learning moves. I'm learning how the moves she likes to make in dancing and how she likes to twirl. And that's the analogy that I get of our marriage. And doesn't mean that we don't have moments where we still trip and stumble over each other. No, we do. That's why it's a dance. But one of the comments we made to each other was to get the picture of your marriage as a dance. In order to dance with somebody, you always have to be touching them, don't you? You have to be close to them.
Yes.
You have to be connected, and that's the idea. If it's linear, you can be sitting across the room from each other and solving projects and solving problems. That's not the way marriage should be. And so when my wife comes to me and she's got all this emotion, all this energy, all this, you know, excitement going on in her life, whether it's positive or negative, I see it as, okay, this is part of the dance.
Well, and let me say something to you about that, if I could, because I'm taking dance classes.
Oh, well, there you go.
And they say get into frame.
Yeah.
You hold your arm a certain way, and you grab her hand a certain way, and she takes comfort in knowing that you're going to be in one position.
There's stability there.
So you got to get your frame right, and then you've got to get your footwork right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to signal to her with your hands that she's, you put your hand up, that signals you're about to spin, and then she knows to spin. I mean, it's all those little things you're talking about in this dance of watching one another, getting a sense of being up close with each other and kind of knowing each other is what you're talking about.
Well, and you develop this harmony. You synchronize with one another, and in a marriage that's growing, what you find is you learn your own moves too. It's not all the standard.
That's right. Yeah, you start with the basics,
we're kinda
and then
giving,
you refine it. That's
in this
right.
broadcast, we're kind of giving guys the basics,
yes.
the standard, but
yes.
but you learn your own moves along the way too.
Yes, this is excellent. I appreciate that metaphor about it's a dance.
Yeah.
And so get out there, boys,
yeah.
and dance.
Well, we are glad that you've been with us this week on the broadcast, and we pray that this has been really encouraging to you husbands, and that wives as well would be encouraged by what this will mean in your marriage. We are glad that you were here, and we'll see you back here again next week. Well, folks, we want to slip in a great promotional item for you this week. We have a resource that we have written here at Be Broken Ministries. It's called The 40 Days of Purity. Stephen Cervantes is the primary author, and myself, Jonathan Daugherty, help contribute to it. And what this is this was born actually out of some seminars that Steve and I did where we would challenge men to 40 days of purity, giving themselves over for 40 days of offering purity to God. And so we wanted to put something together that would help men along this journey, help them start out in their journey for purity. And so we wrote the 40 Days of Purity workbook. And we want to offer this to you this week. For any of you who call in and mention that you heard about this offer on the radio program, we're going to offer you the discounted price of only $10. This is normally $14.99, but we want to give it to you for $10. And you know what? We're going to include, that will include shipping and handling to anyone in the continental United States. Call in, write us, let us know that you heard about the 40 Days of Purity workbook through the radio broadcast today, and we will get this out to you for only $10. It's a great way to start your journey, or even if you've been on the journey for a little while and you just need to, you need a devotional that's really going to kick it up a notch, so to speak, then this is the way to do it. This will really help you to focus and get on track in your pursuit of purity.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.